last week on more about why we actually need to be meeting together. And it all comes down to love. It all comes down to love. God is love, and that's why we do what we do. So the message that I'm preaching this morning is actually called Love and Life. Love and Life. So I keep denying that I'm actually in my early 40s. I really don't like being at this stage of life. I quite like the 30s. That was really, really good. Even the 20s, they were good as well. But, you know, coming into that stage of life and just you know, we've got children that are older now, and I know that by the time I had our third child, that I kind of got what I needed to do. I kind of had worked out, you know, okay, I kind of get this baby thing and what we have to do. And so the stage of life that I'm at, I'm like, you know, really just getting a better understanding of how to love and how to do life. And so I want to share with you from the Word of God this morning about love and life and doing that together. So let's pray before I start. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for your Word that is truth. It's life, it's power, it's wisdom, it's keys to live an incredibly blessed life just following you and being obedient to what you say, Father God. And so, Father, I pray for each person here this morning as they receive your word, give them ears to hear. Father, open their hearts to receive a deposit, a seed from you this morning. Lord, touch them this morning, Father God, with your word. Father, that they would be incredible children impacting the lives of people in their community, Father God, and the lives of people around them, Father God. I thank you for the mission that you have for each one of them, Father God, for the purposes that you have for each one of them today. Bless them today, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Didn't Stephen do a fantastic job this morning? Kathy up here emceeing. So good, so good. So I want to take you through three key things: perfect love, compassionate love, and living a lifestyle of love. And so the first point this morning, perfect love, I'm using a passage of scripture from 1 John 4, and we know that John was the closest disciple to Jesus. And everything that he writes about, there's five books that he writes of part of the Bible, and the theme that carries through all his books that he writes is love. And perfect love. Let's read about this in 1 John 4, verses 7 to 21. Dear friends, I love how John calls us friends. Jesus calls us friends. Let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God. For God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God. But if we love each other, God lives in us and his love is brought to full expression in us. And God has given us his Spirit as proof that we live in him and he in us. Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. All who declare that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them and they live in God. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for the fear of punishment, and this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. We love each other because he loved us first. If someone says, I love God, but hates a fellow believer, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? and he has given us this command: those who love God must also love their fellow believers. Those who love God must also love their fellow believers. That was a long passage of scripture. I just want to draw out a couple of things from that. You know, where it talks about as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. Now, I don't know about you, but I like things to be perfect. I like things to be absolutely perfect. And growing up, I was very particular with how things would need to be. And even as an adult, I would position my furniture and measure the distance between where the couch was placed on the rug, and even when I was setting the table, make sure everything was evenly placed and symmetrical. And so who knows that overcoming perfectionism is, you know, kids are really, really great at overcoming perfectionism. They can mess things up in an instant. And there was an occasion where I took my daughters to the beach, and it was the most perfect morning. The sky was a beautiful blue, the ocean incredible blue. And the beach had just been combed. I don't know if you ever have seen Rockingham foreshore, where there's perfect ripples of sand that has been combed just all across. And I'm thinking, that is perfect. I don't want to mess it up. I don't want to walk on that beach. But I've got to overcome this. And I think there's a bit of a, you know, genetic disposition, I think, for just wanting things just to be just right. But I thought, no, I've got to overcome this, and I've got to just go and walk on the beach and mess it up. And so I took a few deep breaths and embraced it, and I ran across the sand. I think, oh my goodness, messing up this beautifully combed beach. Setting an example for my kids that you can mess things up. And then my daughter followed behind, and she put her feet in my footprints where I'd just been, so she didn't mess it up anymore either. So there's a genetic disposition there. We like things to be really, really good. And do you know what? I'm so thankful that I don't have to be perfect. We actually have a Jesus who made us perfect before our Father God for being sin for us, that we are righteous before God, that we can come boldly before God with complete confidence that we are already made perfect and righteous and blameless because of Jesus who was sin for us, for being that atonement for our sin. And so the scripture in 1 John where it says we grow in being made more perfect in our love. As we are abiding in the Word, as we are praying to our God, as we are coming boldly before our God in prayer and petition and relationship with Him, that He is transforming us. He is growing us in our love for one another and perfecting our faith and perfecting our love. And so how he does that, this command to love one another, this is talking about loving fellow believers, loving one another. We do that by having connect, by coming together regularly, by meeting together, by doing life together. And life is messy, isn't it? Families are messy, life is messy. And so the more we do this, as we are loving one another and doing life together, our love grows more perfect. And so the people who might offend you or the people who might irritate you, God will teach you patience. God will help you to extend love, to look above the other person's sin or annoying habit, whatever it may be. We grow perfect in our love for one another as we do life together. Connect is so important. It is vital. It's essential. It's a command that we meet together, that we do life together. In 1 John 4:21, and he has given us this command: those who love God must also love their fellow believers. Real love, when we have strong friendships with one another, it can only be expressed by spending time with one another. So important, sharing our lives with people, sharing food together. That's why we're having lunch together. Share life and eat together. It is a command. And in 1 John 4, you know, God describes that love is There's no fear in love. In His love, in God's perfect love, there is no fear. We read in verses 18 to 19, such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment, and this shows that we have not fully experienced His perfect love. We love each other because He first loved us. And so when you're doing life together, you can have confidence and courage to join a connect group, to take that step of faith to actually go and meet with people, because there is love. There's no fear. If there's fear in relationships, then those relationships are manipulative and abusive. But God's love is perfect. God's love, there is no fear, no fear at all. His love is perfect. It's grace, it's mercy, it's acceptance, it's forgiveness. Perfect love. And you know, the way that we can love one another, the way that our love grows more perfect, is that when you are spending time with your Father, is that you, when you are spending time with your God and in His Word, that you will have revelations of knowing that you have been forgiven, so that you can forgive others because you know that you have been forgiven. When you have a revelation of the grace of God for you personally, then you can extend grace to those who need it. When you know how merciful your God has been to you, you can extend mercy to those who need mercy. Time with the Lord, time in His presence, waiting on Him, allowing Him to transform your heart, your soul, your being, speaking to you, revealing things to you, comforting you. When you experience all that God is, then you can extend that and express that to those that you are doing life with. And your love grows more perfect. So be in a connect group. Be in a connect group. We have had incredible times of prayer in our women's group. I took upon the role of actually leading the women's group at the beginning of last year, more out of obligation and need. And I didn't expect to be blessed the way that I was by doing life with these beautiful women, by seeing how they would just speak into my life, how they would pray over one another, how they would prophesy over one another, how there's a great sensitivity of the Holy Spirit in what people were going through, and such beautiful love that was expressed in our and our times together. And that's what Connect is all about. It's about encouraging. It's about opening up the Word, asking questions, having discussions. Having robust discussions, controversial discussions, go for it. That's the time to do that. To pray for each other, to do life together. I know my Connect group is actually doing some water aqua aerobics, I think, in the Off Connect week, and they've asked me to join, but I am not coordinated to do that sort of thing. But it's so good that they're actually going and doing that, and they're getting fit and they're getting healthy and they're having fun as well. And I'm sure they'll invite friends to join them too. So, perfect love. Love one another. Love each other, our fellow believers. And then we also need to have compassionate love. You know, that all through the scripture we see how our God is a compassionate God. He is a God of loving kindness. He is compassionate. And this scripture in Mark 6, I'm not going to read it to you, I'm just going to tell you the story. It's in Mark 6, verses 30 to 42. The apostles, Jesus has sent the disciples out two by two on a ministry tour. So Jesus has sent the disciples out and they have gone and they have been healing the sick, they have been preaching the word, they have been casting out demons, they have been giving of themselves, you know, in an incredible way. And I was thinking about Pastor Barry and Steve when they went to Liberia last year on a ministry trip and how exhausted they were from that trip. You know, Stephen was talking about his papers needing to be lined up and intact, and then God just providing for that. That same thing happened with Pastor Barry. He had minutes to get a visa sorted, and God came and just There you go. Everything was stamped and approved, and then he was asked for his papers, and we know that he didn't have them, but it was already done. And so, you know, Pastor Barry, I know Steve had gotten sick during that time when he was in Liberia, and they were healing people, they were ministering in the power of the Holy Spirit, they were doing a lot of work, and they travelled a long way, and it was very tiring and exhausting. And I can imagine that these disciples would have been feeling the same way, that they would have just been healing, preaching, ministering to people, exhausted, and they've come back to Jesus to tell Jesus all about what they have done. And Jesus can see that they are tired. And he says that we need to go to a quiet place and have some rest. That after all of that, now we need to go, let's go somewhere else and just have some quiet and rest. Jesus sees that there are lots and lots of people going in and around this area where they were. And so he says, let's go to a different part. Let's go to a different part of the shore so we can have some quiet and some rest. But there were so many people. There were thousands of people that just wanted to hear Jesus teach and wanted to hear Jesus heal. And so all these people went ahead of where Jesus and the disciples were going, and they got there before Jesus and the disciples got there. And the word says that Jesus had compassion on them. Jesus had compassion on them. He could see that there were plenty of religious teachers and people who knew the word of God, but they weren't true shepherds. And all of these people just wanted a true shepherd. They wanted to hear Jesus teach them. They wanted to hear Jesus talk to them about the kingdom of God, to heal them. Many of them were sick and were lame and needed Jesus. And so Jesus, even though he would have been exhausted as well, he was constantly ministering, constantly healing and being bombarded with people. He had compassion on them. And so he attended to their need. He saw their need. He noticed their need. And he had compassion and he taught them and healed them, did incredible ministry with them. When we are loving people, it is inconvenient. It is inconvenient at times. But we need to be moved by compassion, the same compassion that Jesus had for those people who needed a true shepherd. We need to be aware and looking and noticing who around us needs compassion today. Some of you may know that late last year I decided to return to counselling, just doing a few hours of seeing people again. I've been really missing that space and that work. And a previous client contacted me for resuming, working with me. And when we were discussing the fees and the cost, I actually was prompted by the Holy Spirit to say, don't charge her anything. Don't charge anything. Knowing that I will be seeing this person for quite a long time. And so we agreed to that arrangement, and as time has gone on, there was a session that we had, and our sessions go for 1 hour. And again, I was prompted by compassion for this person. And I allowed more time for this person. We actually went double the time. It was 2 hours. And the look in this person's eyes of experiencing love, of knowing that I wasn't doing this for financial benefit. I wasn't doing this for any gain whatsoever. It was purely out of love. And compassion, I was moved by compassion to do this for this person, to give time, to be a blessing to this person, to show the love of God, for this person to experience true compassion and being with when she had only experienced hate and rejection and abandonment and pain. We need to see what people need. We need to notice what people need and respond with compassion. Even when it's inconvenient, even when it means that, you need to sacrifice something else. It wasn't convenient for me to spend extra time. But that's how we lay down our lives for one another, isn't it? Compassionate love. Okay. This is a word that I believe is in season. And this is a word that I believe that, you know, God is calling each one of you as part of the body of Christ to just shift out of your comfort zone and to be people of greater courage in not only showing compassion for people who need it, but also showing love for one another, as well as leading a lifestyle of love where you are being bolder than ever before in sharing about who God is in your life with people who need to hear about the gospel. We know that a lot of schools these days are not taught about Jesus the way they used to. There are generations that are coming up that have never even heard about the Bible. They've never even heard about Christ in our place that we live. And so I really believe, you know, this year, as we are going into a year of being stronger, that we will be stronger in our courage to share the word, that we will be stronger in following the promptings of the Holy Spirit and speaking things and doing things and putting our love in action with people who we work with, people who we are going to school with, people who we are studying with at university, people who we bump into at the shops. The Lord has specific assignments for each one of you to be doing. He has a will for each one of you to be sharing the love of God. And so this year, I really have such a strong sense that we are going to be, I know I spoke about it the last time I was here, a stronger presence in the community. That as we read in 1 John 4, where we have not seen God, but we know God. And that people, while they have not seen him, they will know God because they see the love in us flowing out from our relationship with him. And so as an encouragement, and this word is equally applicable to myself as I'm telling you this morning, to be people of strong courage and boldness and confidence and compassionate and loving, and lead a lifestyle of love. Lead a lifestyle of love. We see in many parts of the gospel that Jesus hangs out with the people that are isolated or marginalized or not thought very highly of. And there's so many passages of scripture where we see this. He talks to women, which would have been very countercultural to the time of his day. And so this one scripture that I want to bring to you as we come to a close, in Luke 5, verses 27 to 31, just one example of how Jesus was leading a lifestyle of love. It says this: later, as Jesus left the town, he saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at his tax collector's booth. "Follow me and be my disciple," Jesus said to him. So Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Later, Levi held a banquet in his home with Jesus as the guest of honor. Many of Levi's fellow tax collectors and other guests also ate with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of religious law complained bitterly to Jesus' disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with such scum?" Jesus answered them, "Healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners and need to repent." Leading a lifestyle of love means that we are loving our fellow believers. We have compassionate love. And we are also loving those who need Christ. It means that we are building strong friendships with people who don't yet know Jesus, so that we can show his love to them, so that we can extend grace to them and mercy to them. It's those people who know, who are looking, who are searching. We know that the harvest is plenty. There's so many people who are hungry and desperate to know God, to know his love. And we need to be doing that. We need to be leading a lifestyle of actually loving people into his house, loving people into his kingdom. I know Pastor Nigel and I were talking and thinking about Connect and what that looks like with the vision and how this outworks itself. And the last few years have been hard work, I would say. And so this year we're thinking, we need to have some fun. You know, we need to have some fun. And so leading a lifestyle of love is actually having fun with our friendships. And that's why this year we not only have our Connect times where we're meeting with one another as fellow followers of Jesus every fortnight, but we also have Lifestyle Connect, where these are Connect where we get together with someone else who has an interest that you're interested in and that you want to do fun with. Just like my women's group who want to do aqua aerobics, they are doing something fun and they can invite friends that don't come to church yet into that place and have fun and do something together, share life together, share the gospel together, have natural conversations about who Jesus is. And so this year I'm encouraging people, you know, if there's something that you want to do, whether it's